shall know God. We shall know the presence of God even when the singer goes to a different verse than what the band was expecting. And don't you love it when God shows up as Ron Temsky and says, I don't know where he is, but I'm going to find him. And I believe the presence of God is doing that all the time. I don't know where you are, but I will find you. And it takes us being still, being quiet, being present enough to not panic when you go, they're not in the same place that I'm at. And they're not panicking going, I don't know where he is. But we know that we're here right now, yes? We know that right now there are mystics throughout history, mystics in the room, mystics in the future that are all calling us and pulling us into something greater, asking for us to live something greater, breathe something greater, and express something greater. That invitation is in the room, and I hope you all will answer it. Over the past few weeks, this is the fourth in a series, and this is the last Sunday in the series, we've explored some really important elements to the spiritual path and to our evolution and to our knowing the presence of God by whatever name you choose to give it. I like the word love. That's what God is to me. Whatever it is for you, that invitation is here. And we talked on week one about spiritual intelligence, recognizing the truth that we have defined our human path by our ego, our intellect. But there is a wisdom that is deeper, broader, and taller than anything we could ever think. So many people are trying to think themselves into that relationship of oneness, trying to think themselves, and we can't do it. So we talked about spiritual intelligence that also is above and beyond the drama queen that lives within us and the emotional intelligence. Anybody got a drama queen in there? I know I'm not the only one who's willing to admit it. There's that emotional intelligence that actually leads us off, that lets us panic when we're in a different place. But we explore that intellect, which is the SQ, not the IQ or the EQ, but the SQ, that which knows that knows that knows that knows. And it doesn't make any sense here, but it knows. In week two, we experienced spiritual coding, basically remembering that we as computers, as beings of God, with every thought we're thinking, every feeling that we're allowing into our computer system, our programming, is creating the life. Every action we take is coding the experience of life that we are having. If you don't like what you are experiencing, recode. Go back to the original programming that you were created in and after. And then week three, a bit of a difficult subject for a lot of us in New Thought, spiritual bypassing. How many were here last week? It seemed to really hit a chord for this congregation. It's the temptation to use spiritual concepts that we love and adore and work with to avoid facing being a human being, to avoid the pain that we are experiencing. And thus, by avoiding the pain, we avoid the healing. And by avoiding the healing, we avoid the transformation. Sometimes we have to be very mindful that our concepts do not get in the way of our becoming. Today, we arrive at the moment when spiritual practice stops being a theory. Anybody ever have an idea that you hold over and over and over and over, and then all of a sudden you go, I'm here. I've arrived. It's the moment when spiritual theory becomes spiritual realization. The realization that that which I have been coding, that which I have been facing, has now caused the transformation. The moment when ideas, divine ideas from the mind of the one, suddenly are planted so deeply into our psyche and our spirit that we're now having that human experience. A little story. You've heard it before, but it bears repeating. There was once a school of fish, really beautiful, wonderful fish, and they would get together every Sunday morning in the ocean at 11:15. And they would study the deep spiritual ancient texts of this amazing, beautiful thing called water. And they would discuss and debate and argue and sing about this thing called water. And they went on searching for it. Every day, all through the week, they would swim north and south and east and west, up and down, looking for this amazing thing called water. Water. And they would get together and they would sing beautiful songs. Oh, water. Oh, water, we beseech you. We have heard about you from the ancients. A lot of what's going on the planet is that scenario right there. And there comes a moment on our spiritual journey when nothing has changed on the outside. Nothing, absolutely nothing has changed in the external world, yet everything looks different. Everything feels different. When we stop looking for water out here and we find water in here. When we stop looking for love in all the wrong places out here and we start looking for love, spirit, truth, joy, peace, harmony, understanding, I don't care what it is, and we look more deeply within here. The ocean of life that we're living in suddenly becomes different. You ever had that moment? That epiphanal moment? Where it's not just that everything out here is different, but everything in here is different. And we begin to see, as the Buddhists say, with beginner's eyes. With beginner's ears, beginner's spirit, beginner's mind. You must become like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. Our master teacher knew that. Jesus knew it. Buddha knew it. Look as if you are a child. You must become a child to enter that kingdom of heaven. And that means look at the relationship, the person you're sitting next to, as if you're meeting them for the first time. Look at the beautiful blossoms that are out that window right there, as if you're seeing those blossoms for the first time. And sit with it for a moment with awe and wonder and childlike innocence. We begin to see what was always there, but we had been unconscious to it. That's the invitation of the mystics. That's the invitation of this season that we are in, to stop and to pause, to begin to see what was always there, but we were unconscious. The same sky stretches out before us, but we see it differently. The same people are walking beside us, the good, the bad, and the annoying. Yet, and you know who you are. And we begin to see each other differently. The same life is unfolding around us, but suddenly we notice what we had been missing. That's our job. We come here every Sunday to just remind ourselves not to go look for water, but to see differently and to see that water's right here. That love is right here, the quiet miracle of the breath. Take one with me and just let it go. A lot of the world is missing God. A lot in our country right now are missing God. Where did God go? God didn't go anywhere. Love didn't go anywhere. Peace is nowhere. But we're going to swim north and south, east, west, point fingers and blame when the job is ours to just be quiet enough to recognize that it's right there in the breath. That's the invitation of the mystics. And when we do that, the grace that's hidden in ordinary moments begins to appear. That which the rest of the world is missing is suddenly right there in our hands and in our purview. The kindness that appears in unexpected places, even in the annoying people. Yep, even in the annoying people, there is kindness and there is love. Just a moment ago, I didn't see it, but because I paused, I begin to have a spiritual realization because I've coded a different seeing. I've coded a different hearing. I've coded a different expression, and I begin to pay attention to the beauty that was just standing at the door knocking, waiting for me to pay attention. There's a line that the master teacher Jesus speaks in three of the Gospels many times, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I don't know where John was. He might have been asleep when it was said. And he says this. Let's put it up there. Together, those who have eyes to see, let them see. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. In Jesus' time, there were a lot of people, and he saw it. I think maybe that's why he made it his mission, that were looking but not really seeing, that were listening, but they weren't really hearing. It's a lot like what I feel like we're experiencing today. Man, sometimes we don't change. Sometimes we repeat history, but let's be a little bit more awake as we listen. A seeing and a hearing that's rooted in the IQ, the ego. That's what's happening. We're looking at each other through this intelligence or through the emotions and the drama queen. We need to drop down to a deeper place, that which is transcendent, that which is transformative and so much bigger than my simple little mind and heart can conceive. It's calling us to recode our attention. You know, there's a Hindu myth that says that the gods, when we were being created, said, where should we hide the truth? Where should we hide the love and the goodness? And he said, put it on the mountain. No, they'll find it. Put it in the ocean. No, they'll find it. And then smart ones said, put it inside of them. They'll never, ever think to look there. Jesus was calling for us to tune in. I love this slide I found. I didn't create that. Doesn't it just love that? To tune in to a different frequency. That's it. Instead of blaming the world, instead of swimming left, right, up, north, south, it's to tune into a different frequency, a spiritual frequency, one that gives us the sight that is above the sight and the hearing. But so many of us are so concerned about a destination that we're looking beyond the moment that we're in right now and we're missing the good that's right there. Anybody ever experienced destination addiction? I will be happy when. I will be fulfilled when. The annoying people just change. I will be happy and joyous and full of life when, and then when never comes. The seeing and the hearing, the mystics are inviting us into a current moment reality. The power of now, as Eckhart Tolle would say it. And we're so not there. We've all, let's get honest with each other, we've all had these experiences. Anybody ever drive? You're driving home late at night, you're tired, and then you suddenly kind of come to and you go, where am I? How did I get here? Realizing that your exit was 5 miles past. Now, that's probably not a very safe thing to do, but that's what we're doing. We're living life that unconsciously. We're driving this vehicle of our body and our lives extremely unconsciously. But wait, there's more. Ever had anybody tell you, I told you that 3 times? All the husbands and wives or partners in the room, they're going, yeah, that's you. And they look at me and they're going, I told you that 3 times, and you realize I did hear the sound of their voice. But apparently the message did not get in. That takes humility. No, you didn't say it. You know, you didn't say it. Oh, they did say it, but it wasn't getting in. There was an unconsciousness that needed to be brought to the surface. Or you get up. This is my big one. I get up. There's a commercial on, and I go to the kitchen, and I have no idea why I'm there. There was a reason I came into this room to get something, and I can't remember what it is. Or worse yet, partners, here you go again. They asked you to get a bottle of ketchup, and you opened the door 4 times. It's not there. It's not there. It's not there. And your partner finally gets up exasperated and goes, there it is. Anybody have those experiences? They are symbols to pay attention, to wake up, to be present. Spiritual realization is basically that right there. The blessings of life are in the field. They're already in the refrigerator. And they've been speaking to us all along. But until we recode our seeing and recode our hearing and tune into a higher frequency, we're going to miss the good. Spiritual realization is not the moment that suddenly we arrive in heaven. Here's the destination. Now I'm in heaven. It is the moment we awaken to the good that's already present. Breathe. The good in the breath that you just took. We are probably in this room in the top 2% of prosperous people on the planet. How lucky are we, and how unconscious are we to just realize I could breathe the air. I have a chair to sit in. I have $100 to put in the plate today. That was a joke. I really meant 1,000. How blessed am I in the moment we awaken to that which is already present, the giving love and the receiving of love. Though that I'm involved in, and that I simply witness. You know, one of the most beautiful things, we had our chaplain training yesterday, and we did not groups of 2, but we did groups of 3, sharing and knowing truth for each other. And the most powerful part of that training was the third person who got to sit back and be the observer. And it was like, wow, that was beautiful. In the middle of it, those people that were involved couldn't see maybe the beauty. Oh, I could have done this better, or you could have done that better. And the observer was able to stand back and go, I'm blessed. I'm touched. I felt something, and it was beautiful. That is spiritual realization. plain and simple. We pause, we breathe, we open our awareness, we expand our view and allow ourselves to notice the good that has been patiently waiting for our recognition, and we go, wow. Anybody ever have a wow moment? How blessed am I? I want you to say that as your invitation from the mystic within you. Wow, how blessed am I? Together, wow, how blessed am I. Now bring to mind all of the blessings in your life. Bring to mind all the blessings that you have where you sit right now and do it again. Wow, how blessed am I? How does your body feel saying that? Again, wow, how blessed am I? Simple shift, but there's a recoding happening, a recoding in the brain. Things are starting to fire in the brain that it's like it's not about the complaint. It's about how blessed am I? There is a presence making itself known even in the difficult moments. Two of our beloved congregants, longtime congregants, have passed recently. Last week we said goodbye to James Sanford, Judith Birdsong, this coming Saturday. In both moments before they were about to ascend, there was laughter in the room. There were stories in the room. There were smiles in the room. That doesn't make any human sense. It doesn't here. And it still hurt here. But in that moment, there was a family with tears pouring. How blessed are we? How blessed are we? Is that possible in your dark night of the soul? In the midst of your pain and grief and difficulty, that you can still maintain, I'm still blessed. If you can't find it, then that's your job for this year, is to work on that. Because spiritual realization is not tied to circumstance. Spiritual realization is tied to relationship. Relationship to something beautiful. Singing the song at all times, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. If you know it, sing it with me. I want to see you. I want to see you. Now we're in a Unity church. I know we have problems with the word Lord. Get over it. But go ahead and put love in there. Put love in there. It doesn't matter what it is. Lord just means law. But let's make that invitation. Open the eyes of my heart, love. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to hear you. Intention. Experience will follow intention and openness. We live in a myopic world. We're so myopic on our problems, aren't we? This is wrong. This is wrong. This isn't working. And those of you know that I've taught piano lessons for many, many years. And my students, you've heard the story, would say, they'd play the piece of music and they'd say, oh, I screwed up there, there, and there. And I say, how many right notes did you play? There's too many to count, Richard. That's right. There are too many to count. And if you want to be a part of the changing of the paradigm and the culture that we're in, start counting the right notes. Yes, go through and practice those wrong places. Any piano teacher will tell you that. But also give yourself the opportunity to go, I did really well here, 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 and here. And that annoying person did really well there. It shifts the perspective individually and collectively. It's like the story of Jacob who wakes up from the sleep. He's in a miserable place, having a nightmare. He's sleeping on a rock, like having an acid trip dream that would keep him up. And he wakes up, and what does he say? Surely God was here, and I did not know it. Say that with me. Surely God was here, and I did not know it. Anybody ever have that experience? Jacob lives in you. Jacob is the mystic calling itself into expression through you. Surely God was here in the midst of this very long sermon and I didn't see it. Surely God was in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my goodbye. And I tell every family there's a spiritual hello here. Let's find it. And the Sanford family found it. And the Birdsong family found it. The spiritual hello that was tossed over from the painful goodbye. Something beautiful happened and will continue to happen because we're not confined to circumstance, to physicality, to our bodies. We are contained only by the realization that God is here now. And then what happens? And when that happens, when that is unfolding, the light gets brighter. The world gets brighter. You've ever felt that? Is it that the world got brighter? Or that we got brighter and the world is now reflecting back to us exactly what we, where we are? Angry people will find reasons to be angry. Have you noticed that? Hateful people will find reasons to hate you. I don't care how good you are. And loving people will find reasons to love. Awake people will find reasons to invite you into a circle. Which do you want to be? In the Gospel of John, this is what it says. The light, let's read it together. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome us. There are those that say, well, that's all about Jesus coming onto the planet. And aware of a Christ essence and spirit, that's a cop-out. That's all about you. That's about Rusty the Christ. That's all about Kim the Christ. It's the spiritual realization that I can be the change that I want to see. It's the mystic of your heart. There is a human tendency to be unaware of the divine in everyday life. Have you noticed that? Especially when life gets challenging. What is your go-to? There's that epiphanic moment where a person discovers that God is here even in the challenge, recoding ourselves to be poised, on your toes, ready to receive it. The miracle was never far away. The good was never far away. It was always standing at the door, waiting for us to have the eyes and the ears to see it and to hear it. And then suddenly you realize the world didn't change. My perception did. There once was a man. There once was a man who was walking through life complaining constantly. You may have met him. Have you met that person? Always complaining. Nothing is good enough. The weather is always bad. It's either too hot or it's too cold. People are annoying. Life is unfair. Have you met that person? Sometimes he's in the mirror. Why is life so difficult? He went to a wise spiritual teacher and he said, why is life so difficult? And the teacher handed him a pair of glasses. By the way, you may think I'm looking at you funny. I'm aging. I'm getting used to what this looks like. Progressive lenses. Yes. Oh, wait, I can't. I have to adjust to see you clearly. There you are. But I tell you, I can stand back here and see the 18 font better than I ever could. Why is life so difficult? And the teacher handed him a pair of glasses and said, put these on. The man did, and the teacher said, those are gratitude glasses. Those are the glasses of gratitude. And suddenly the man began to notice things. The air felt fresher. The trees looked brighter. And let me tell you, after not wearing these for a very long time, being a little bit vain, they come on and it's like, wow, how blessed am I? And sometimes it looks like this, wow, how blessed am I? But the man's body felt healthier. People around him were smiling and he realized I was the annoying one. It wasn't everybody else. So he began to see himself differently. And the teacher said, the world didn't change. Only your awareness did. The human journey is a process of this, 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 to fine-tune to the frequency of the higher vibration, of the higher truth and the higher vision, the spiritual realization. What's the difference between adversity and adventure? Anybody? Attitude. The difference between adversity and adventure is your attitude. In the case of the glasses, let's put that next slide up there together. The difference between adversity and adventure is the lens I'm looking through. Pure responsibility, not Jesus's responsibility, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Abraham, my responsibility. To fine-tune. Do you Jesus spoke about the awakening perception when he used the phrase, the kingdom of God. Say that with me. In order to understand what Jesus was talking about, we have to go back to his original language. It's a misinterpreted phrase. The kingdom of God sometimes is put out there like it's this great reality of reward because I was a good boy, or you were a good girl, or you did exactly what God wanted. That's Rocco Errico, the Aramaic scholar, says wrong, wrong, wrong. That what he was actually talking about in that language was awakened awareness. He was talking about this, the kingdom of God, the perception of God. And we shall see God, beauty and forgiveness, unity and love. He was talking about changing the awareness and the viewing and the seeing. When awareness shifts, life begins to look different. Next quote, please. Anais Nin, the great nun, said this, together we don't see the world as it is, we see it as we are. Put into more modern language, Wayne Dyer said, change the way you look at things, and the things you look at change. This is who I thought Bill Coons was. Oh, I know who you are. I see you. And then I go to the mirror, and I put the glasses on, and I see you. We've forgotten because we're so worried about the next destination, the next task, the next job. Surely God is here in the now moment, and I did not see it. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. With that awareness, our problems become teachers. Bill looks different. The problem looks different. It becomes my teacher. Everything becomes sacred. Everybody becomes my mirror. Blessings appear everywhere, and suddenly, because God suddenly didn't just show up, I was just aware that I was starting to pay attention. There's a thing science calls the frequency illusion. Anybody ever heard of it? No? It's probably a different name for it, but that's what I found, the frequency illusion. How many women have ever been pregnant? And then all of a sudden, all you see are pregnant women. They're everywhere. Wow, there's pregnant women everywhere. Or you get a brand new red Subaru, and suddenly all you see on the road are red Subarus. Wow, there's a frequency. Everybody's buying red Subarus. I must have chosen the right car. I don't know about that, but the statistics do show that Subaru Forester is the number one car of white men over 60. And lesbians. Welcome to my club, or welcome me to your club. But there's not really a frequency. It confines two things, selective intention, focusing on information. That which you're focusing upon is expanding in your field. Was it not there before? Were there no pregnant women until you were pregnant? No, I'm honing in. If I asked you right now to look around the room, and I want you to see everything that's blue, look around. Find everything that's blue. Think of 10 things you can find that are blue. Okay, come on back forward. Did anybody notice anything green? You weren't paying attention. It was all about the blue. You were asked, you were directed to find the blue. That which you are looking for, you will find. If you don't want the green, don't look for the green. If you want it, put the green into your field. But what's happening scientifically is this confirmation bias. I want to see this, and so that's what I see. The mind is working on your behalf. A little music underneath that would be great. Thanks, Ron. By the way, isn't his playing beautiful? And when this higher frequency begins to happen because our attention is there, songs, billboards, songs, music, conversations, numbers, animals, ads start showing up in your field. Could it be that the people will show up because you're expecting them to show up? People will meet your expectations. The world will meet your expectations. And so when you're complaining about everything being wrong, put on a different pair of glasses and have a spiritual realization. And when you do that, you begin to, as Thich Nhat Hanh said, we awaken from the illusion of our separateness. Say this together. We awaken from the illusion of our separateness. I thought Bill and I were separate beings. He thought I was a jerk. I thought he was a jerk. We both put on a pair of glasses and said, we belong to each other. That's not true, by the way. I think he's one of the greatest guys on the planet. We belong to each other, but I have to be the cause of a different reality. It was always true, but I could not see it. When perception shifts, we stop focusing on what's missing and start noticing the right notes, the good notes. A man once prayed, God, why don't you ever speak to me? Why don't you ever speak to me? And a voice thundered from heaven. And it said, I sent you sunsets. I sent you friendships. I sent you music. I sent you laughter. I sent you coffee. What exactly were you waiting for? A parade? We're all waiting for a parade. Think, no, 2x4 is going to wake me up. No, you're going to wake you up. Sometimes spiritual realization is simply slowing down enough and paying attention enough and getting quiet enough to realize God's been speaking the whole time. I had to recode. I had to drop from here into here. A final story. My son Adam, who's had a really tough life, but he has been one of my mystical teachers, even at age 5. We'd be driving over the hill. We lived in the mountains, and we'd drive to the church where I was the music director. We'd be driving back, and we're tired. We're worn out. It's like, just want to get home. I want to get home. We had 13 kids, 13 foster kids in the van, complaining, moaning, and we'd hear from the back seat, Dad, stop the van. Stop the van, Dad. And it was like, oh, my gosh, pull over. It's everything okay? He's going to be back there vomiting. Which I hate. And then he, when he got quiet, he'd say, Dad, look at that moon. Look at that moon. 14 other people in the van had missed the moon. And he said, stop. Look. Listen. And it was the most glorious moon any of us had ever seen. That's spiritual realization. Anybody see that was almost a complete eclipse this week? It was a little sliver of orange. And I channeled Adam. And for the record, my son is in jail right now. But for a moment, he was free, and I was free because I stopped the car, seeing that little sliver of orange. And together we united in spirit and said, how blessed am I? And I sent a text, I can reach him in jail. And by the time I got home, there was a text back in California. Driving home with a beautiful moon, sitting in a jail cell, not knowing when he's going to get out because he made some bad mistakes, it simply said, and how blessed am I? Our goodness, our heaven, is not attached to circumstances. It is only attached to the glasses we're wearing. And a final quote before I sit down. Let's put the next quote up there. Meister Eckhart, one of my heroes, let's read it together. The eye with which I see God is the same eye with which God sees me. Spiritual realization is not going to take us out of the ordinary world or the difficult human world, but it will put us in heaven right smack in the midst of being in the world, but not of it. And so it is. And so I hope we all let it be.